Hey, this is the Magic Band, and you're watching my homeboy, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Rose.
What up, dog?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen and Jacoby, what is it that
we
do?
We give the people what they want.
Very special day today. Joining us on the show is none other than Portland Trail Blazers Damian Lillard. And he joins us while he is in the news, in the headlines, for saying that he did not want to play meaningless games in the bubble. Damian, why did you say that you did not want to play meaningless games this season?
I mean, I felt like the way the story was written, it was taken out of context because it was a casual conversation. And it was like, expletive this, expletive that. But it wasn't a demonstrative statement. I was just saying, you know, we've been off for 2 months. And if we come back, we want to play for something. You know what I mean? So after this type of break, usually when you come back, you know, especially with how fast we're going to be jumping into playing, you know, I think guys are at risk for injury. Also at risk of, you know, being exposed to whatever because, you know, none of us have been around each other. If so many teams are going to be in one spot. So there's so many things out there that, you know, we could be at risk of. So, I mean, if we're going to do it, obviously as players, we want to play, but we want to play for something, especially if we were in position to play for that in the first place.
I appreciate you being a voice for the players, and you guys dealt with some injuries this year. What have some of the reactions been like in your cell phone or on social media since you said that?
Nothing really. I mean, I feel like it hasn't been much. I feel like, and one of the reasons I haven't heard from many other players, you know, possibly other guys that feel the same way. You know, they want to play for something. And some people might be looking at it like, you know, it's almost summer. This is usually when it's our break. And if we're going to come back and not be able to actually play for an opportunity to continue to play, then, you know, I feel like some guys would prefer to just go on about their summer, you know, but I want to play. I've said that many times. I want to play. I just want to play for an opportunity to be in the postseason. You know, and I didn't feel like that was a bad statement.
Well, the Trailblazers were sort of in the hunt for the eighth seed. And you think of some teams like the Cavs and the Hawks and the Knicks, they're completely out of it. Now they might not come back, but if you could sort of design how this season should be restructured, how would you restructure the rest of the season in the bubble?
If I could, I would, you know, design some type of play-in tournament between all the teams, that were in striking distance. Because, you know, Sacramento was playing their best basketball of the season. So was New Orleans. And so were we. And none of those teams were in the playoffs, but we were within striking distance, you know, with enough games left in the season to catch Memphis. So I feel like a play-in tournament would be perfect just because we actually were in striking distance and also had enough games to get in the playoffs. But to that point, if they did decide that, you know, we just going to go straight to the playoffs, obviously we would all be disappointed. But to this point, we haven't performed to be in that top eight. So if that's the case, then fine. But if we're going to just come back to play games, I feel like that would make it, you know, that'd be harder on everybody else.
We appreciate you joining us from the facility, rocking the Scully, yeah. Since you haven't got a cut since you stopped playing basketball. What the workouts been like, Dame Dollar? You been able to work out with any teammates?
I mean, we haven't worked out together, but, you know, every day that I come in, I see Melo in here. CJ is in here. Winnie and Gabriel, we got, you know, a pretty solid amount of guys coming in, even though it could be four of us at a time. You know, they kicking dudes out when they done working out so the next person could come in, so we never have too many people in here. But it's been good. You know, I've been able to get my work done, you know, and stay in some type of shape. So, that's good enough for me.
So, Dame, you mentioned a little earlier about sort of the uncertainty of going to a bubble and not being that sort of person-to-person contact and all the people that would have to travel to get there. What do you need, sort of, what do you need in place to feel safe and to feel secure going into some sort of a bubble environment to finish the season?
I mean, if they say we're going to go do it, I'm prepared to go do it. I think if they're saying that they're putting us in a environment that's as safe as possible, I think that's all you can ask. And I don't think we would be any more at risk than we are, I guess, in our everyday lives going to the grocery store. Like, I've been to the grocery store a few times with my fiance.
Me too.
And, you know, I've done little things, you know, obviously not going and hanging out with a bunch of people and stuff, but just stuff, you know, essential things, if you say that, where I've been out and just doing what I need to do, picking up what I need to pick up, where I could possibly have been exposed to anything, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like what's being presented, you know, I feel like it would be the same amount of risk as, you know, what probably all of us have been doing in our everyday. Outside of the fact that we don't know who's been doing what, you know, that's a completely different conversation.
You're a great person to ask this next question as an all-NBA performer who led his team to the Western Conference Finals last year. The Greek Freak, LeBron James, who do you feel like is this year's MVP?
This year's MVP? I mean, if you said either one, I feel like it would, you know, nobody would have a problem with it. But me personally, I think it's this season, I think is LeBron. You know, they're the number one team in the West. They've been consistent all year long, and for him to be at the age he's at with the amount of miles that he has on his body, how often he's talked about, you know, the pressure they put on him and every little thing that he does and the level he's performing at, I feel like, in my opinion, I think he's the MVP. Number one in the West. I mean, leading the league in assists. You know, I think he's averaging 25, 26. I mean, that's super impressive, man. And I think this year, he's the MVP of the league.
I absolutely agree with you. Jalen does not, but we won't get into that because he's often wrong. But I do want to get into this. I think that your Trailblazers in a bubble environment with some sort of a play-in opportunity are one of the most dangerous teams in the Western Conference, especially because of the, you know, return potentially of Nurkic and Collins. Do you expect those two to be available if you do head into a bubble environment?
I'm 100% positive they will. It was right before all of this happened. I know Nurk was coming back like the following week, and Zach was, you know, maybe a month out. You know, a month and a half out. So he was like, you know, even if we get him back, it'll be, you know, end of the season, last couple games. And we've passed that point, you know, by a long shot now. So I feel like we'll definitely have both of those guys back. We'll be a completely healthy team minus Rodney Hood. And everybody's, you know, every team is coming back off a 2-month hiatus. So it's a more even playing field than it ever has been. And we're coming back a more deep team and, you know, a more well put together team. Two great centers, two great power forwards, we coming back deep and strong. And all that matters is winning. You know, it's not like we coming back trying to figure out, oh, this guy needs to get this many shots or that. You know, we're going to come back and, you know, given the opportunity, we're going to come back and try to sneak everybody and try to make something happen because we feel like it's possible. But we could also come out there and lay an egg because we ain't.
Who knows?
Because we ain't.
Who knows? Hopefully the Trailblazers come back soon. And you know Jalen and Jacoby will come back soon just in 2 minutes with more with Dame Dolla.
Got Geico has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. We are joined by Damian Lillard. Dame, so you mentioned last segment that you would like some sort of a play-in tournament for the Western Conference seeds. And you mentioned that you have Nurkic and Collins definitely coming back. And I'm doing the math during the break. And I'm thinking that's a potential matchup with LeBron and AD and the Lakers. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that potential matchup in the playoffs?
It'll be fun. You know, I think the kind of season that we've had has been a challenging season. We haven't had, you know, the most success, you know, but we've continued to battle and we know what we're capable of when things do click. And, you know, in the playoffs, it's just about, you know, who's playing the best, who's in the best rhythm. So we know that we'd have a chance against anybody. Obviously, the Lakers would be the toughest. And that, you know, that'd be a tough one to pull off, but you know, we professionals, we always going to be here for that type of challenge.
Dame, some of your greatest heroics have taken place in the playoffs, multiple game winning shots, how you broke up the Oklahoma City Thunder in the gym right now, getting shots up in the back of your mind. Are you thinking of that image against a LeBron James or a Kawhi Leonard?
Nah, it's funny because I don't even think of the ones there's like, I don't even think of it. I'm just like, I just be trying to imagine myself advancing. Like, all right, we got one out the way. And I just try to imagine like how I would feel, like what it would look like for us to be advancing to the next thing. So.
I got to follow up to that. You shot down Russell Westbrook and Paul George and broke up their squad. Y'all playoff series was real testy. PG even said it was a bad shot. So from that year to this year, like, what type of motivation does that give you knowing that you've got a chance to be in that position again?
I mean, I just was looking forward to it. You know, for me, it wasn't about being in that position again. It was like we've been in the playoffs the last 6 years. For one, you don't want that streak to end, and you don't want to play a full season and not put yourself in position to have a chance to like fight for what we playing for. And that's what I think about, especially like. Once we got to the middle, you know, past the midway point of the season where it was like, all right, we got to make a big push now. If we're going to do it, that's what I was thinking about. You know, we got to give ourselves a chance to compete for it. You know, just if we get in that top eight, we're going to have a few more guys healthy. Anything can happen. You know, it's an uphill battle either way, but I'm just trying to get in position to get in that final eight. And once we get in there, then I'm optimistic. You know what I'm saying? It's like whatever happens, happens.
So let's imagine a scenario in which there's a sort of a group stage or a play-in tournament to get into the playoffs, and then we get into the playoffs, and maybe there's a couple positive tests that take out some stars and kind of swing the way the playoff series would normally go. With all these conditions and the 2 months off, do you think that this season, this championship, would have some sort of asterisk attached to it?
I don't think so. I know.
Me either.
If we was the team to come in there and somebody happened to not play or something took place or whatever happened and we end up winning, I'm not going to lose no sleep if we win. So I'm sure no other team would either. They're going to be like, we won it. We was all playing under the same thing. So
there's always injuries and there's the lockout seasons and there's not asterisks with any of those championships. And we will have more with Dame Lillard right after this. Stay tuned to Jalen and Jacoby. We're back in 2 minutes. You got Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. We are joined by Damian Lillard of the Portland Trail Blazers. There's something happening in the America that we need to discuss. In Minneapolis, there are protests last night in the wake of a video being released of a gentleman named George Floyd dying under the custody of the police officers there in Minneapolis. When you see something like this happen, what role do you feel athletes have in the fight against social injustice?
I think our role is just being a collective voice, just because of the platform that we all have. And the fact that, you know, a lot of us have family that are still, you know, living in these communities and that, you know, could potentially be in these situations every day. So, I feel like it would never be right for us to not be present and be participating in some way, shape or form when these type of things take place, you know, to raise awareness and to, get people to see that this is the reality. You know, these things are really happening and it's not okay.
Well, Dame, first of all, I want to thank you so much for taking the time from your practice there in the facility to join us on Jalen and Jacoby. We will be back tomorrow at 4 p.m. and you can always subscribe to the podcast where you will find exclusive content with Dame Lillard. Right up next here on ESPN, we have Dan Le Batard, Highly Questionable.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Jalen, we always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is exclusive content for the podcast, you know, unstructured, unfiltered. So give our guest a proper introduction.
I'm really enthusiastic today, you guys. For anybody that's been listening to the pod for almost a decade, I always talk about a special kinship of my life. And it's the one that Detroit has with Oakland. It's town business today. Dame Lillard, Dame Dolla is here with us, joining the program. Thank you for being with us, family. We appreciate you.
Appreciate y'all having me, man.
Woody, I got a couple of questions, Jacoby.
I'm going first. I'm excited about this one.
I saw your Fur Bar Fridays. No. I saw Rhapsody on there. How did you come up with the idea? Are they going to keep happening? Is IG going to shut them down?
So, I mean, I've been doing Four Bar Friday since 2013. Basically, it's a platform where I'm allowing artists to come in and they just spit, you know what I'm saying? And we highlight them on my Four Bar Friday page, on my page. We've done, you know, battles and competitions at All-Star Weekend. We've hosted them and done a lot of stuff with these people. So the community of artists has grown to, you know, 60 to 80,000 where we getting these participants each Friday for the last 6-7 years. So now since this quarantine has been going on, we started doing a cipher every Friday at 2 o'clock. And basically we choose 8 of the artists that, you know, have been participating. And, I find a producer. And they send the artists 3 different beats. So like the first round, everybody rap over one beat. If you get to the second round, rap over the second one. Then the final is the third beat. And once I do that, you know, I'll have, you know, just people in music kind of just tapped in. You know, I'll like let them know, like come join the show. You know, critique the artist, let them know what you think, help me decide who should move on, et cetera, et cetera. So we switch producers each week. We switch the artists each week. And this past week, we had an all-female lineup. So because we had the all female lineup, you know, we had Rhapsody on there. So she was kind of in and out, showing love. Hit Boy was the producer. We didn't have Heather B like coming in. She be showing love. Just a lot of people. Guapale was on there last week. We just trying to shine a light on the artists and, you know, give them an opportunity to be seen and be heard and, you know, do it through a big platform. Rob Markman with Genius. We did the show on his page for, you know, a few weeks, but it's just trying to give people an opportunity, you know, give these artists a chance to be heard.
I think that's dope that you're spreading the love like that, using your platform to shine the light on some people that don't have the light themselves. And I want to ask you a question in the wake of sort of yesterday's news that you told Chris Haynes that you didn't want to play. You're going to play meaningless games, because there was a part of you said earlier there was like, hey, man, that was sort of a casual conversation. I wasn't trying to use that as a messaging. But there was a part of me when I saw that was like, oh, wait a second. Is Dame playing chess here? Is Dame sort of like sending a message to the league, knowing that the conversations are going on about how we should structure the season? Were you sort of like sending a message to the league, like, listen, don't make me come out to that bubble if you're just going to use me as like exhibition for teams that are in the playoffs?
No, I wasn't a message at all. You know, I feel like if I was trying to send a message, you know, I could contact, you know, the people who I need to send that message. You know, if I wanted to get in touch with Adam, I could, or whoever, I could get in touch with him. So I wasn't trying to send a message. I was just asked, what if, you know what I mean? What if this happened, you know? And I was like, I would want to play for something, you know? And that was my way of saying I would want to play for something. So it wasn't about sending a message, you know? I feel like if that was the case, you know, I'm not going to say something to make them say, all right, this is how we're going to go about this. I'm not going to be the person to do that. So, I mean, that was never my thought process.
Dollar, I need your opinion on something. So, to be honest with you, I've been somewhat uncomfortable feeling like some of this has had a racial undercurrent to it with collegiate sports. Because as somebody that went to Weber State, made it to the league, team has been in the playoffs every year, I'm seeing the reports that students may or may not be on campus, but yet they're still trying to have football games and possibly basketball games. What are your thoughts on the athletes still competing if they're not in school on campus?
I mean, I feel like they're being treated like professional athletes. That's what I mean. Students don't got to be here, but y'all still got to show up because it's a lot of money coming from this. So, I mean, we can't let this not happen. That's what it looks like to me. So, with that being said, I think that makes an even bigger argument of why college students or college athletes should be compensated properly. But it also says, like, if we got to go out here and play, why is, you know, and we're college students, why do we have to go out here and play? But the reason we're here is to go to school. Like, it don't make sense.
So you mentioned that Carmelo Anthony was there at the facility working out. And I have a very simple question that I have a lot of emotional investment in. Is Carmelo Anthony playing next year? Is Carmelo Anthony playing next year?
He better.
I don't see why Melo wouldn't play next year.
That's what I'm saying. Thank you.
Melo, thank you.
He'll definitely be playing next year.
So, Dame, as I look at the landscape of the NBA, especially in the West, elite PG play, I'm going to ask you for a couple of lists while you're on this show. One of them,
all right,
your top five point guards currently in the NBA?
Oh, no, that's tough. I think, obviously, myself, Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry. Myself, Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, Kyrie Irving. I'm trying to make sure I don't.
We always forget people. We make lists. James.
Yeah, we always forget people. Luka.
It's hard to define point guard too. Like, Yeah, it's hard to define, too. Is James Harden a point guard?
James Harden's a shooting guard, too. See, like, these, a lot of these dudes handle the
John
ball.
John Wall a point guard?
Position. I would say me, Steph, Russ, Kyrie, and John Wall, with just off the top of my head. Because I think people like John Wall, people forget, like, from my experience playing, if you're in a player, John Wall, like, he ain't played the last year and a half or so, but I think John Wall. But I feel like it's somebody else that's like, that could easily be in that top five, but I can't. I'm trying to think of every team. Let me see.
I am too. So who are Milwaukee, Boston, Kemba?
Kemba's in that.
No elite PGs in the East.
I think you got it.
John Wall is in the East.
CP3.
Kyrie. CP, obviously.
Yep. He's worth considering.
I mean, I think CP is always in that conversation. It's just, you know, when we were younger, some of us weren't in that mix. And now, you know, CP is in like the later stages of his career. You know what I'm saying? And he's having one of his best years in the last few years. This year, he's been killing. So,
Yeah, he balled.
You know, okay.
So I got a question for you about something that I feel like has been underreported in the NBA. Okay. Now, whenever I play basketball with Jalen, the first question you have is, what ball are we playing with? Can we play with an NBA ball? I can only play with an NBA ball. He's obsessed over what ball we play with. And now that the NBA is switching balls, do you think that will have an impact on the game the way it did last time they switched balls?
I mean, last time they switched balls, it got switched back pretty quick. So I love the ball we play with. So, I mean, if what they switching to is – if it works, then I'm sure everybody be cool with it. But at least we know that if it doesn't work, it's going to be gone real quick. You know, I feel like it'll be back to what we use now, or a ball like we use now, just like the first time. But Jalen is right. He played the NBA, so higher level. That's
I'll tell
the ball
you this, Dollar. Correct. You got to play with a good ball. And also, I'm telling you, Dame, when they switch the ball, I ain't trying to mess with Wilson and the NBA's money. It was slippery. Gonna have to get used to that. That Spalding, you know, that's like baby in the cradle. That's gonna be a big change. You gotta feel that thing when you're 35 feet away, Dollar, and it's 3-2-1. That's years.
Nah, I played with the Wilson ball when I was in college. And in college I loved it. You know, but since I've been in the league, the ball we play with now, when your hands start sweating and the ball starts sticking to your hands, that's just different. I love the ball we play with, but, you know, I feel like with that experience happening in the past where we had to go back to the normal ball, I feel like it's going to be a much better transition this time, you know, when it happens. They're going to be much more, you know, aware of that.
So, Dame, something that we've all been experiencing during the quarantine is a 10-hour documentary called The Last Dance. Now, Jalen and I are a lot older than you. We're washed up, right? So we got to see all the Jordan years live and direct. But for someone of your age, sort of like, I know you know about Michael Jordan, but what was it like sort of reliving those times and seeing it firsthand and listening to him from his mouth?
It just took me back. You know, it was nostalgic in a way, just of – like, it took me back to, like, Jordan playing in the Garden and, like, all my family from Rochester being in Oakland. And they just go cheering hard for the Knicks. Like, they hated Jordan. And we all loved Jordan. So I just remember how the house was at that time. It took me back to that. Like, going to Bayfair Mall with my dad and getting the new Jordans, you know, all that, you know, those types of things. It just took me back, you know, even elementary school. Like, I remember that stage of my life when it was like Jordan was everything, you know, like active. And when he was player on the video game, they didn't even have his name on the game. It was just like player, and he was the best player on the game. Like, his name, the name on his character was player. Like, he wasn't on
the game. He's the only one in the whole league, too.
Yeah, like the whole league was on the game. But he's still using his thing. He's like the best player on the game. So it was, it took me back to that. Like, it's crazy.
Jay.
That's hilarious. So in the documentary, he seemed to ruffle some feathers. And you were somebody that, like MJ in a lot of ways, wanted to win championships with one squad, re-sign with Portland. Do you see any parallels of you navigating early in your career like he had to do for multiple years before you get your opportunity to break through? Is that what separated you from a lot of other all-NBA caliber players who, when they became free agents, they decided they wanted to go to another team to try to pursue it?
I mean, I'm not Michael Jordan. I'm not Michael Jordan. But I think what's similar is, like, I'm stubborn enough and I'm willing to go out that way. Like, I want to win one here. You know, I've been a part of what's being built and I want to see it through. So that means something to me personally. You know, it don't have nothing to do with ain't no loyalty in business and all these other things that people like to say. Like, oh, when the team does this, like, this has nothing to do with that. This is my personal preference. You know, I want to see it happen here. It hasn't been a championship here since 1977. I was drafted here. Like, this city's been through a lot with injuries and, you know, bad draft picks sometimes. And with all that history, I want to do it here. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is where I want to do it at. And if I get to the end of the rope and it doesn't happen, I know I can live with that. So, I'm going to keep pushing towards that. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like just in how stubborn he might have been, I feel like I'm stubborn in that same way of, like, I see people on TV sometimes like, he's not going to win in Portland or this is not going to happen. And I literally don't believe that. So as long as I don't believe it and I feel like, you know, it's possible, you know, then maybe I'm wrong, but you could be wrong too. Excuse my language.
No, it's fine.
No, you can cuss on here.
I'm glad you brought that up too, because it feels like every single year, you guys haven't won a championship yet, but it seems like every single year when you ultimately end up losing a series in the playoffs, the next day, the question comes up, is it, can Damon CJ, do we have to break up Damon CJ? What are they going to do? Are they going to break up Damon CJ? Are they going to break up Damon CJ? Can they win with Damon CJ? What is it like just hearing that every single year after year?
Me and CJ are so tight and got such a great relationship that it really don't even matter. Like, it really don't. It's like both of, we literally talk about winning it. You know what I'm saying? We don't, people have been saying that for years. And after we got swept against New Orleans, everybody was like, oh, they need to trade Dame or CJ. And then when it came time for last year, they was like, the Blazers are going to be the odd team out of the playoffs. They're not going to be able to do this. They got swept. They saying all these things. And then we went to the Western Conference Finals and everybody acted like that's what was supposed to happen. You know what I'm saying? We won series away from being in the finals. Mm-hmm. And that's just what the truth is. So, like, going forward, the same thing can happen. Except next time we might not be running up a team with that type of championship experience. And we probably move on. And once we get there, we here now, so, I mean, it really ain't important what people, you know, have to say about that, because I feel like it can be done, and I want it to be done bad enough to where, you know, I'm doing everything I can to be in the best position as possible. So, you know, one day we'll see.
Well, you're joining us from the facility. We appreciate you taking the time. Consider Jalen and Jacoby your parking spot to fall through like Brahman anytime. Yeah. To come and represent. Yeah. We're looking forward to catching up soon.
Thank you so much for taking the time, man.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate y'all.